I want to talk to you about a very serious problem that's plaguing our nation right now. Some of you are laughing. You know what it is. It's called binge watching. How many of you are guilty of ever binge watching? It's a new thing. Netflix has made this possible for many of us, but so have DVRs and being able to record shows, so you watch them whenever you want, and you can watch a whole cluster of them. In fact, it's put things like this into the vocabulary of our lives. There are a bunch of popular shows. Anyone willing to share what they binge watch? Lost, okay. What else?
Friends.
House of Thrones. Somebody said what?
House of Cards.
House of Cards, yeah. Our daughter sort of got us turned onto that through Netflix. The latest one that she turned us onto is Madam Secretary, so we've caught up on the whole first year now. But anyway, binge watching has sort of entered our vocabulary, and I have confessions to make today about binge watching. Netflixing is also a verb now that you can use. It's the act of watching an entire season of a show in one sitting. At our 9:30 service, we had several people who had done that. Anyone watch an entire season in one sitting? I haven't. Oh, you have. Okay. Must have been. Was it good? It was good. She's shaking her head. Yes, it was really good. It's also a totally valid excuse for avoiding social obligations. So, like, sorry, I can't make it to the party tonight. I am Netflixing. So if you really don't want to go somewhere, you just tell them that you're Netflixing. So I have a confession to make. I've been binge-watching lately, too. Only I've been binge-bishop-watching. I've been at annual conference, and if you go to annual conference, you are guaranteed that a whole gaggle of Methodist bishops will show up. Not only your own bishop, this is our bishop, a retiring, outgoing bishop, Bishop Marcus Matthews, and so he was well-loved at this conference. Every presentation included a gift for Marcus Matthews. Even though he said he didn't want any gifts, everybody gave him gifts. The Korean delegation and people from outside our conference and people from inside our conference. And he's a very humble man and he doesn't like really all that attention. As a matter of fact, if you recall, he asked our gifts to be sent where? Africa University. And I'm happy to say that as a conference, we raised over $300,000. And the groundbreaking is going to take place this coming week for the new Health and Recreation Center down at Africa University. And you, as a congregation, raised 1/60th of that. One congregation. We've got 620 churches. You, as one congregation, raised 1/60th of what we gave as a whole conference. So you ought to give yourselves a tap, pat on the back. Back to the bishops. There was Bishop Cho, who was resident bishop in Virginia, who led our Bible study every day. He talked about pneumophobia, our fear of the Holy Spirit really doing stuff in our lives, and letting go of control to the Holy Spirit. He talked about the power of prayer. We had Bishop King from South Carolina, who preached powerfully at two of our services, the service memorializing pastors who had died, and then the service of ordination yesterday. I'll get back to that in a second. My confession runs deeper than that. Not only have I been binge-watching bishops at annual conference, but because general conference was going on for 2 weeks in May, I was watching them online as well. That was the best stuff that was coming out of general conference, if you ask me. There was a lot of resolutions and talk and a lot of stalemating that went on at general conference. But the worship and the preaching was phenomenal. The text for general conference and for our annual conference, it was the same text that we read this morning. It's, therefore, go, make disciples for all the world. And one of the sadder resolutions that came out of General Conference, there was a vote. Anyone know what the Methodist Church's mission statement is? This is pathetic. We're doing a terrible job as pastors. Making disciples for the transformation of the world. Making disciples for the transformation of the world. That's what we say we're about as United Methodists. There was a motion to remove the second part of that phrase for the transformation of the world. And 25% of the people voted for it. Now, it didn't pass, which I'm glad to say. United Methodists have always been about personal holiness, as we told you, and also social impact, taking the gospel to the world. How can you go make disciples if you're not going out into the world for the transformation of the world? Happy to say we didn't vote for that. But there were some great preaching that went on. Bishop Sally Dick is the bishop out in Chicago. And she preached a powerful message about go learn mercy. Go, a lot of these bishops were sort of taking a text that played off of this phrase, go and make disciples. And her text was about go learn mercy. This is what Jesus taught his disciples, go learn mercy. One of the stories that she told in her sermon was about being in a little town in Ohio. Many of us have probably lived in places like this. It's the kind of town where the newspaper is something you can read top to bottom, front to back in about 5 minutes. Ever been in a place like that where the local newspaper, you could just fly right through? And the big news on the front page of this local newspaper was about a Church of God in town that was having a special event that was going on. Not out of the ordinary for churches to make the front page of that kind of newspaper. But what really caught her eye on that particular day was that there was a typo. So instead of the Church of God having this event, it was instead in the headline read like this. The Church of Go. And she laughed about it for a second, and then she thought, I want to be a part of a church like that. I want to be part of the Church of Go. The Great Commission that says to all of us as Christians that our call is to go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. I am grateful that I am part of a Church of Go here at Severna Park. You don't have to look hard or long in your announcements every single week to find out ways that we are a church that is not content to stay put, but we are a church that goes. Heather, just a few minutes ago, talked about how you can go shopping and you can bring a gift back here, a very a necessity for someone, some shoes, a shirt, some pants, and those things will go out of here and they will find someone who needs them. Or you can go to Heaven's Kitchen, or you can go to ASP, or you can go on a volunteers and mission trip, or you can go fill in the blank. Our church is always going. Bishop Dick wanted to be part of a church of Go. We are a part of a church of Go right here in Severna Park. Thinking about it more globally and thinking sort of in more general terms, I had a lot of time to think about this text because, like I said, this has been the theme text for General Conference back in May. It was the theme text I heard preached about all the last couple days at annual conference. Bishop James King talked about the other side about it. You know, it's all good to talk about being the Church of Go, but what would be the alternative to being the Church of Go? Because if we're honest, sometimes we're not always the Church of God. Sometimes we're the Church of Stay. Stay the same. Don't change anything. Stay safe. Stay calm. Don't get too excited about anything. Stay inside the building instead of being outside with our neighbors. Stay. One of the other bishops, I've mentioned Bishop King, who preached the sermon, he put it in slightly different language at the ordination sermon yesterday. He said, there is no room for parking in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the Church of Go. We are the Church of Movement. We are the church that's called to go and do things. He says, no matter what life stage you are, whether you're retired or whether you're 18 years old, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're working or not, we all have a part to play in the life and the mission of Jesus Christ in the world. We are all called to move and to go and to do and to be part of the loving, serving mission of Jesus Christ. We are not called to park. He told this story about a graduation. And it was a pretty typical high school graduation, large high school that had graduated. And about 10 years later, one of the graduates came back to see his principal. And he said, I want to thank you for your inspiring words to me at our high school graduation. Now, the guy thought about it back 10 years before. He had not even been the speaker or anything. They'd brought an outside speaker, so he was just sort of the figurehead for that ceremony. He was the guy up front shaking hands and giving out diplomas and things like that. He said, I have to confess, I don't remember what I said at that graduation that would have been terribly inspiring. Can you tell me about it? He said, well, if you recall, we had about 800 people graduate that year. It's like the biggest class to ever come through the high school. And so as all of us walked across the stage and you were shaking our hands and you were giving us our diplomas, you said to us two words, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. And he said, and I've tried to live by those words ever since. And what he meant by that was move from this experience and learn from it, and move to the next experience and learn from it, and move to the next experience and learn from it. Don't stay still. Don't stay complacent. Don't get too comfortable with where you are. He really meant it as a compliment. Keep moving, in some ways, had become this young man's mantra. Keep moving. Keep moving. Now, one of the most powerful moments for at annual conference this past week, because time can stand still at annual conference. Heather, would you confirm that for me? There's a lot of business reports, and there's a lot of ceremonial stuff that happens. And there's a lot of stuff that happens that has to happen that's not terribly inspiring. But, and I have to say that in addition to the bishops, who were pretty good, the most inspiring moment on Thursday for me was when this young woman, Nora Meeks, got up to speak. Now, I have to tell you up front, this is full disclosure. I have a personal relationship with Nora. I baptized her. I saw her in the hospital the day she was born. Her mother and I worked together as colleagues in Bethesda, and she, her mom's first church at a seminary, sort of like Nicole's first church at a seminary. But Nora had been with her mom to Africa University earlier this year. She'd been part of the Baltimore Washington Conference delegation, mostly adults who had gone, but she was the youngest member who had gone. And she had a chance to see the global church at work. She had a chance to see how big this church was. She had a chance to hang out with other kids down there and see kids playing with tires in the play area. She described that in great detail. The kids would push tires and sometimes push each other in the tires. And it was just great. And I found myself sitting there wondering about what kind of church are we providing for Nora? Not just the church of today, but what will the church be like for her 10 years from now and 20 years from now and 30 years from now? Will we be the church of stay? We're going to stay put and stay comfortable. And if we do, will we be the kind of church where she will find her place as she continues to move throughout her lifetime and continues to grow? Now, the church is called to go and not just stay where it is. If you've been following our annual conference and our general conference for that matter, we have been stuck, parked, if you will, over issues of human sexuality. That's dominated the general conference. It was present in our annual conference as well. The bishops created a commission. This is either a very brilliant thing to do or a very Methodist thing to do. Rather than deal with any of the legislation at general conference, they've created a commission to see if there is a language that all of us can live with. Conservatives and liberals and everyone in between around issues of how we welcome and include the LGBTQ community within the church, around issues like ordination. And that issue came to rest and it right really at home in our annual conference this year, because for the first time, our Board of Ordained Ministry recommended for commissioning a woman who's lesbian. Now, up until this moment, we have had pretty much, like the military used to have, a don't ask, don't tell policy, which is to say we have been ordaining people who are gay or lesbian in the church for a long time. They just couldn't tell us that. They could not be open about that. So this young woman, with her courage, came through the process, said who she was, and the Board of Ordained Ministry sent her through. What a strong candidate she is. Overwhelmingly passed her. And so all of the candidates then get voted on at annual conference. And she received nearly 62% of the vote to be commissioned. But our annual conference requires a two-thirds vote. And so she fell short of that. So after we had prayed for and celebrated and clapped for all of the people we had just voted to ordain and commission, someone made a motion, can we pray for TC too? And would you see if she's willing to come back in here so we can pray for her? And she did. She walked back in, and this body of people that had sort of just rejected her. And she came and she knelt, and the bishop and her pastor and a whole group of people prayed with her. And her ordination class, those who were ordained yesterday, in a symbolic move, left a space where she would have been kneeling. And they just hung her stole so that she could be present with them. We have a long way to go still on this issue, and we're still trying to figure it out. My hope and my prayer is that the General Conference Commission will come back with some language that we can all live with so we can find our way forward and not stay stuck on this particular issue. Because if we stay stuck on this issue, we'll get in the way of our bigger mission, which is to make disciples for the transformation of the world. It's part of that, but it's much bigger than this one issue. And we're doing wonderful things around the globe to make this real. I found this graphic. I probably should have just put this graphic up first and sat down. This would have been my whole sermon. I think it came as a result of the General Conference. This was just created in the spring. You are a missionary, and it is God's mission that you're part of. That's what Jesus is saying in this text. You are a missionary. And did you notice in the beginning of the text who Jesus comes to? It says there are some who are doubting and some who are believing on that mountain. The disciples still aren't sure what to make of the resurrection of Jesus. They've all showed up, even though they're not all in the same place. And they all show up, and it's to all of them, the doubters and the believers, that Jesus gives the commission. As you are going, sometimes we just translate it go, like it's just to go out there and do stuff, and that's part of it. But the verb tense is really as you are going, while you're going. So it's not like we have to go someplace far and exotic. It's like our everyday going, wherever you are, living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We are called to invite other people into this life by our daily witness. Our bishop is famous for saying for the last 4 years, three things. He wanted churches to be connected to elementary schools or schools in the area, providing some connection. We're doing that through our Backpack Buddies program. He wanted churches to pray and pastors and individuals in churches to pray. He kept talking about prayer, prayer, prayer. And the other thing he says, if only all of the people of our churches would invite one person per year, to come along on this journey. What would our churches look like? Not 10, not 20, not 30, not 100. If you would just invite one other person to come with you on this journey, how would we change the world then? Just one person. Baptizing them in the name of God, and I love this phrase, swimming together in the love of God. Come on in the pool, it's great. This is news worth sharing, like Nicole's message to the kids. And we do it together, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And if you know anything about Jesus, what does Jesus say is the most important commandment? When he's put on the spot, when he's talking about commandments, what does he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live. That's what I command you. Love God, love your neighbor. And here's the best part. When we get discouraged with the church, when we feel like we're not up to the task ourselves because we fail again and again, when we get unsure of ourselves, a reminder that we don't do this alone. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We go in the name of Christ. We go surrounded by Christ. We go with the power of Christ to love and serve every day. We're the church of go. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a church like that. Amen.